Orson Welles in Norman Corwin's New York, A Tapestry for Radio. Tonight, in the fourth of a limited series of eight broadcasts for CBS, Norman Corwin is privileged to bring you Orson Welles as narrator of one of the most widely requested of all Corwin's programs, New York, A Tapestry for Radio. The original musical score is by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra is conducted by Lud Gluskin. Orson Welles in New York.
Time on the four-faced Paramount clock says in quadruplicate that it is 10 o'clock, and so good evening to you, Queen of the Hemisphere. Four times good evening. And by this time tomorrow, may the enemies of all free men's cities be more desperate and damned than ever. End of salutation. Let us acknowledge that you have a handsome profile, City of New York, and get that over with. Long ago, you were voted the city most likely to succeed. And tonight, the 12th generation of Americans salutes you with special reference to the populace, which takes you for its lawful address. The Manhattanese, Brooklynese, Astorians, Jamaicans, Bronxites, who think the rest of the world is all right to visit, but who wouldn't want to live any place but here. This tapestry, being dimensioned by a half hour of your time and the arbitrary limits of the city, has for its warp the avenues, and for its weft the crosstown streets, the shuttle traveling back and forth, as you'd expect, between Grand Central and Times Square. As for loom, that's what ships do on the horizons of the city practically continuously, in which connection, God bless our Navy and the ships of the Merchant Marine, as well as the Port of New York Authority and sailors of the National Maritime Union, 346 West 17th Street. So much for shuttle, loom, and weft. Regarding individual threads, you will have to follow them by listening acutely. For there will be excursions and motifs, snatches of native song and speech, time signals, bulletins, reflections, and footsteps. To say nothing of the retirement of batters at first base, and of ballerinas from ballet at the age of 40. However, the main design is in the middle, and will be clear enough when you stand back and see the whole. The people of the city are the main design. The names in the directories, but for the grace of whom the place becomes an empty mesa and a pincushion of stone, a petrified island of forgotten dividends and cobwebs in the elevator shafts. What that design is, you citizens of sister cities, you hearers on the plains and uplands, sit still and listen. It well may be a special hope, a pattern of felicity to you and to your kids, to fetuses conceived this month and next and ever after. That, as I say, comes later. But it's in the weave, if you will stay and look it over with us in a certain light.
who just come out of that store. Tyrone Power in a uniform.
So what do you want me to do? Break a leg?
Pick any street in the city from 1 to 241 and take it over to the laboratory for an X-ray. You will find, on developing both the film and yourself, that the corpus wears a top hat, though its toes stick out. That there are present all the elemental backbone virtues of the species. That sin and sickness appear as shadows on the plate. Nothing extraordinary about that, is there, Doctor? And that all the typical figurations of love, hate, fear, passion, tribulation, joy, grief, are clearly marked and evident.
Oh, Shorty, what's cooking?
What's cooking? Nothing's cooking.
And what do you hear from your boy?
Oh, Manny?
Yeah, Manny.
What I hear from Manny? He's in the South Pacific. That's what I hear from Manny.
Has he been in any fighting?
Has he been in any fighting? You see this handkerchief?
Yeah.
So I'm blowing my nose in it.
So what?
So it comes from a dead Jap officer. That's what.
Do not underestimate these people, for they are you. Do not hate them because the Yankees keep on winning forever. There will come a team out of Cleveland one day, or Boston. Do not mistrust them because of their accent, for we ourselves might be incomprehensible in Oxford.
So I says to him, sure, I'll miss you. Like poison, I'll miss you, I says to him. If you want to see how much I'll miss you, just stick your finger in the pond at Central Park and then pull it out and look at the hole.
One feature you will notice straight away is the congestion from German Yorkville to outlying Latin quarters. Lebensraum is nil. This is true as well of the areas of Ritz and Pate de Foie Gras, for even on those avenues where finger bowls with lilies in them must precede the coffee.
Ever spot a brandy, Edgar?
The next door neighbor breathes down your incinerator shaft. You can't get the real truth about it in an almanac. The guidebooks can only go so far. They're candid enough about how the local girl made good. But just where in the index is the guy who jumped out of a window because he couldn't take it?
Take somebody your size, New York.
The wind off the river may be an authority on conditions in New Jersey or even in Ohio. But what does it know about a meeting of stockholders at 1 Wall Street at 3 this afternoon?
Total surplus in capital stock, gentlemen.
What knowledge of the shish kebab stuffed grape and cabbage leaves available in the Syrian district? How can the Congressional Limited, which goes only as far as the Penn Station, know about the beauty of the women? About the politics of Williamsburg?
Go fight City Hall. That's what I says to him. He got no answer.
How can you tell from seat number 5 on the plane from Pittsburgh what goes on here? Put your nose to the cold window and look out over the starboard wing. Already you're within the city, though it's still 10 minutes to LaGuardia. There's the harbor, crinkled under the influences of a bland wind. The statue of Our Lady of the Freedoms, a green speck in the blue bay. The downtown cluster of real estate standing cool and reasonable above the vapors. What can you tell from such an altitude of the clip joints and the subway jams and clinics, of cabbages in wholesale market and of kings in exile, of time and of the river, of star performances at Hayden's Planetarium? Do you know anything of the historic nature of these parts?
George Gershwin slept here.
A flower salesman brightening the night.
Get your gardenias! Get your fresh gardenias!
Of exports and imports of the port.
If you wish, you're very fine to catch a Dory, a Lattuccini, a Fumagata, just to come to Pia della Chioppa, 1275 Bleecker Street, Greenwich Village.
Of the telephone exchanges. The Indians with feathers.
Algonquin 4.
And fat old Dutchmen.
Stuyvesant 9959.
And Spanish gold.
Eldorado 5, please.
And Englishmen at
I'm
play.
I'm calling Bowling Green 99970.
Salute, Ormond. Oh, Whitman. Whitman of Manhattan, the sun. We ask of you a sentiment about this place. A line that we can quote for our broadcast.
A great city is that which has the greatest men and women.
We thank you. We thank you in behalf of the conjoined creeds, the Jew, the Christian, the Mohammedan, the speakers of the foreign and of the ancient tongue.
Exali praesamus domini supplicum praeses, et can fancagit aram tibi passe peccatis, quod parater nobis indulgentium.
Lord God of hosts, there are very many voters in this town. Your angels would be doing well to know the names of half of them. It is beyond the power of certified public accountants to follow all the comings and goings of the people, to and fro and up and down, especially on weekends and around October 1st. Only the Lord himself could tell just what a man from Harlem thinks this moment, riding downtown on the 8th Avenue Express. Yea, even the hushed transepts of the church might confuse any but the highest.
Good night, darling. Will you call me in the morning?
You mean I can't come in for a while?
No, my mother's sleeping in the front room.
Well, let's stay here on the steps a while, huh?
But I have to punch a clock on Canal Street at 9 in the morning.
Well, how about me? I have to be back at camp.
Well, all right, Ted. Just for a little while.
Yes.
But you'll get lipstick all over.
I'll take that chance.
The season of spring has returned from a winter in South America and has already had certain intimacies with the trees of the public and private parks, as well as the flowers and grasses thereof. It has also appeared in various guises, mostly beguiling but occasionally overcast, with prevailing northeasterly winds. However, on sunny days, somewhat hazy in the morning, clear by noon, it stands leering outside office windows. It fishes for pennies in the gratings of subways and is generally pleased with itself, all the way from Canarsie Marshes to the Yonkers Line. Go down to Kew Gardens in lilac time. It isn't far from Manhattan, and it can be reached easily by taking an E-train on the independent 8th Avenue line or a BMT from Times Square if you want to spend more than a nickel. You can take the Long Island Railroad from Penn Station.
Well, I finally told him. What do you mean you finally told him? He says I only develop an interest in an individual if he happens to be socially conscious. Believe me, that's some nerve. Personally, I think it's a compliment. It's a privilege to be socially conscious.
Certainly. After all, it's a very important time in history.
Of course. History's being made every day. So I said to him, I told him, Harry, you should read more.
Where'd you learn to pitch? Italy?
Ah, give him a chance, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, what's the score? And who's in there pitching? Come on, Charlie. Give us a flash from the ballpark. Crowd is cheering a base hit to right by Mahul, sending Buxton home with a tying run. Oh, yes, Charlie, it's well to relax, and a fella needs to get out. But will you not turn to the young Jew beside you, he being a flyer of the Bronx home on convalescent leave, and cheer him for making a base hit too? The base being Japan and the hit being right down the alley? Did he not send a bombing run across the plate? How can you tell the players without a scorecard, Charlie? Look at the ribbons on his chest and drop that subscription to the Brooklyn fascist paper you've been reading. The game is almost over, Bud. And the All-Stars are ahead. poison meat to you in Spanish Harlem.
Dulces y refrescos.
Little Spain, out of islands Caribbean and southerly from here. Brazil, Nicaragua, Colombia, the Argentine. 200,000 people speaking Spanish. A city Pan-American within a city American. And further up the line...
I got peanuts, pinders, I got goobers, ground peas.
Negro Harlem listens to a street cry, and it hears a boogie-woogie piano playing a little original composition down there in the rhythm club. But it ain't just song and honeysuckle, neighbor. It's a place of homes and shops. And it contains the biggest Negro concentration in the world. And if you take the trouble to go down and interview the older docks and slips along the island, they will, if they like you, point out the ghosts of rusty, weathered piers where once fat, crowded slave ships put in from profitable hunting grounds of Africa. How many wars ago? Off these same Manhattan shores tonight, the warships of the reunited states ride at anchor, and men of Harlem are aboard.
Letter from my boy in India yesterday said he visited the Taj Mahal, but for his money don't come up anywhere near to the Empire State Building.
In 750,000 New York windows of all sizes and conditions, the service star gives notice to the passerby that each has sent a delegate to the Convention of the Nations with instructions to shoot on sight. Fire and blood are first on the agenda. And participating in the various contests, east side, west side, all around the world, is the Swede from Bruckner Avenue.
Hey, will you tell Holder to send me a picture of the baby? Here, I got a kid 2 years old and I ain't even seen him yet.
And the muscular Greek corporal from 25th Street.
Look, when you go back, will you tell him what we like is Dinah Shore records and a transcription of a Fred Allen show? Personally, I'd appreciate a couple of snappy pin-up girls and a good hot dish of stifado.
And Captain Mahoney of Flatbush, moral stockholder of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
We'll bomb you once again, Japan. You wish you had have stood in bed. We'll give it to you on the lamb. 2-ton shillelaghs on your head. Head.
Oh, G.I. Joe of Manhattan, the sun. Your father came to the city on a big white ship, or a dirty tramp, or a cattle boat. And the ship had a name. But you have slipped down the Hudson in the night on a gray ship, nameless. The hour likewise, anonymous. The compass bearing, sealed inside an envelope. The city of immigrants has emigrated to the wars. The borscht and the pastrami, the feinkuchen and the smorgasbord patiently await the last communique. Meanwhile, Nostrand Avenue is deeply interested in the westward course of landing barges. And a Staten Island ferry full absorbs the evening paper for the latest dope from Tokyo. Americans on this wavelength, can you make out the bright green threads among the lesser colors in this tapestry? The interwoven hopes of those who turn the turnstiles? The dreams held by commuters to the well-kept lawns of Scarsdale and Greenwich? Tune in on Sunnyside. Canvas the gas house and the garment districts. Take a poll of visions on Park Avenue, Hell's Kitchen, and the Bowery. You'll see they aren't so far apart. Just hold the hopes up to a light. one at a time. From Lenox Avenue, for instance.
I just want my boy to come home, that's all, on his own 2 feet. And with a war won, so's it'll stay won.
From Torman Street near Jay.
I'd like to see my way clear to be able to afford a bathtub in this house.
From West New Brighton.
Won't it be grand to be able to fly in from Westport every morning in a helicopter?
From 9th Street and Avenue D above the garage.
The whole city. If it only could look like the park along Riverside Drive, huh? Roller skating and handball and tennis courts and grass and trees. All new houses instead of these old tenements. Boy, won't that be something.
From Sutton Place South.
Just think, Paul. Your branch office in Shanghai, 36 hours across the North Pole. Pelham Bay to Liverpool in 12.
Can a song of hope be sung by the graduating class of PS 166, arranged for symphonic orchestra and choir, and performed at Carnegie? Danced to at Roseland? Given the works by Melchior at the Met? Could be, gentlemen. Could be. Many a hit tune has come from Broadway. Uptown on the downbeat, lads, and take it away. City of Ginsburg and Garibaldi, Koslovsky and Lopez. What are you doing on St. Patrick's Day? Marching, of course, down Fifth Avenue. And what are you doing on San Gennaro's Day? Dancing, of course, along Mulberry Street. The rumor being there are more Italians in New York than in Napoli, or Roma, or Firenze. And the candles on this day, this year, burn brightly for the martyred saint. And though the sweetmeats would be sweeter far if Frankie and Pasquale were home from Okinawa, they taste pretty good as they are. Blessed be the Virgin Mary. And on Bastille Day, the French Republic's Independence Day, hardly a fortnight further into summer than our own, the tricolor is flown beside the flag that Lafayette, a lend-lease general, helped us to get started. Whereas Hungarians and Czechs and Germans, Hindus, Balkans, Portuguese and Danes, they have their little cities within the city, too. Their churches and their restaurants and gift shops, movie houses, newspapers and foreign language programs on the radio.
La ilaha illallah. Ayyuhanna salat.
Is there by any chance on the island tonight a visiting fireman from Kansas City who knows somebody in Washington with connections in London? If so, would he kindly take a message to the peace conference? The one that G.I. Joseph of 82nd Street is at the moment still fighting to arrange. And see that there is smuggled in among the representatives the mere hint of the barest memorandum of a notion. Something for their scratch pads to be scrawled upon and doodled over during deepest thought. A mark. A democratic imprint. A U.S. figuration, a Yankee doodle. This is what it is. Here, in the tall city with a British name, the people of all nations, checkering the numbered streets, having come from Warsaw, having come from Plymouth, Kleinwardein and Chungking, having come from Africa and Oslo and Caracas, having worked and played and voted, loved and listened to the radio, fought in the wars and paid for them as well, having kept their customs and their languages, played their own sweet music on the fiddle and accordion, did Nevertheless, find time to rear and populate the greatest city in the world. And make of it a symbol celebrated up and down the longitudes. You see, it can be done. Yea, make a note of it. It can be done. You have it on the solemn word and deed of all the five boroughs, gentlemen, that nothing is impossible. Do but consult the main design and see, in miniature, the nations living side by side so effortlessly. No one calls it peace. Yea, block to block and house to house and door to door, they get along. With scraps betimes, a little botheration such as happens in the best of families, but never anything a court or free election can take care of. Now then, you want to buy a rug? Very fine. A bargain. Genuine American. Then take a look at this. Oriental in parts, but all the compass points come into it, and see, the main design. Is that a hope, or isn't it? A hope that out of little people, greatnesses, and towering accomplishments, rapid transits to tomorrow morning, and fraternity along the grand concourse. Ahoy, the century ahead! Announce it in lights above Broadway, and post it in the public library. Workers, lovers, kids, and patriots, near and far, along the mainstream and lesser eddies of the network. Greetings from the city. Greetings. Greetings.
I've been listening to Orson Welles, an especially requested repeat performance of New York, A Tapestry for Radio, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin as the fourth in the current series of Columbia Presents Corwin. Mr. Welles is soon to be seen in international pictures, Tomorrow is Forever. In tonight's production, Charles Lewin and Lou Ashworth assisted Mr. Corwin in the production. The musical score was by Frederick Steiner, and the orchestra was directed by Lud Bluskin. Next week at this time, Columbia presents Corwin's newest play, A Walk with Nick, co-starring two of the screen's most accomplished young actors, John Hodiak and Joan Loring. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.